We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
To the basket, the slam. For the third time in the last 5 years, the Ducks are Pac-12 champions. Outright champ.
Holy three. Goal! Hey, holy ball.
Left wing, pow, pow.
Yeah, boom, boom.
Regular season champions and now Pac-12 tournament champions.
Welcome to Duck Insider.
We're just getting started.
This is Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Better banking, local solutions. Live from the Country Financial Studio, here's Joey Mack.
Oh, it is a big one tonight. The Ducks heading to Los Angeles to take on USC, and no pressure, but whoever wins this game may very well win the Pac-12 championship in the regular season. Would be Oregon's fourth in the last 6 years. God, that's good. Isn't that amazing? This is one of the best times of year because baseball starts on Thursday. Thought we were going to have the opening series this past weekend. Didn't work out, but it looks like baseball is going to start on Thursday. And we have the likes of men's basketball and women's basketball coming down the home stretch. And it looks like the women have officially locked up the four seed in the Pac-12 tournament. And the men still a chance to win the conference, potentially. So everybody, this is going to be fun. Today we're going to hear from Dane Altman. We're going to hear from LJ Figueroa as we preview Oregon men's basketball at USC. The Ducks playing on Fox Sports 1 this evening. 5:30 pregame show right here on the Oregon Sports Network and a 6 o'clock tip-off. Man, I got to tell you. That game against Utah took some years off my life. Took some years off of my life. But the Ducks won. And at this point, and at this time of year, I don't care how you win, just win. Coach Altman kind of said as much. He said it a lot more delicately than I just did. But that's the truth. This time of year, you just find a way to win. And that's what the Ducks did against the Utes. Going to hear from Coach Altman postgame. LJ Figueroa, go through those Pac-12 standings for you because they're intense. They're about as close as you could get this time of year. And It's not a surprise because preseason, it was Arizona State, UCLA, and Oregon picked as the top three. Closest vote in the history of the poll for preseason rankings in the Pac-12. Just makes sense that we're going to have a season like this after that happens, right? Now, Arizona State's not really in the mix, shocker. But Oregon and UCLA sure are, and then USC is as well. We'll break down those standings for you after that 67-64 win over Utah. Women's basketball, good to see the Ducks get back to their winning ways. Also at USC, actually. Love to see it. Women's basketball getting back on the winning side of things. After Friday, we just aren't going to recap that one. That sucked. We don't need to go into that. You know, Ducks didn't play well, and they played a lot harder and a lot better against USC on Sunday. Going to hear from Kelly Graves, Sydney Parrish. And a busy weekend around Oregon athletics. Women's soccer, women's lacrosse, men's tennis, acrobatics and tumbling, softball, track and field, men's golf, and a whole lot of victories for the Ducks. And I want to highlight just one of those right now. Men's tennis got a huge win over the Huskies. Absolutely love it. Glad that they could reschedule it because it was a good one. The Ducks needed four wins in singles play. They got exactly that. Oregon men's tennis with a 4-3 triumph Sunday afternoon over Washington. It was great to see them at the Student Tennis Center. You know, the number six single spot is what it all came down to. Ducks needed a huge victory in the number six single spot, a come-from-behind victory in the number six single spot, and they got it. You love to see it. Oregon men's tennis taking down the Huskies, Neil Shelander squad. Congratulations. That was a lot of fun. All right, men's basketball, it's closer than the Ducks wanted. Really a lot closer than the Ducks wanted against Utah. Eugene Omorui getting into foul trouble in back-to-back games. The Ducks had to play the final minutes of each of the matchups with Colorado and Utah without Eugene Omorui. I think that's a huge key tonight. You can't do that. You can't have moments like that where you're without Eugene Omorui. And the Ducks, now that they have a full rotation here against USC, I think that's a huge deal. Eric Williams coming back. I talked to Coach Altman for the Toyota Coaches Corner that you're here on our pregame show coming up tonight. Talked to him earlier today, and he said, you know, Eric Williams is the difference of the game. You know, the 25 minutes that Eric Williams was able to play against Utah, Coach Altman doesn't think that they win that game without Eric Williams. Dave asking, who's going to guard Evan Mobley? Lawson, Figueroa, big key to tonight's game. I think it's a huge key to tonight's game. In fact, I was going through updating my broadcast score charts and boards. I mean, Mobley is as good as it gets. He is 7 feet tall, and he plays like he's 6'6". Ducks have a bunch of dudes that could guard him. I think Chandler Lawson's going to be tasked with it. I think at times Eugene Omorui is going to be tasked with it because Eugene Omorui is a very physical player in the post. LJ Figueroa could definitely guard Mobley. But he is maybe a top two draft pick in the NBA. I mean, he is legit. He is really, really good. 17 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists. He shoots 60% overall, 35% from 3. And he also averages a steal and 3.2 blocks per game. Yeah, he's really good. I think back to the way Oregon's matchup zone defended DeAndre Ayton when he was at Arizona. Different players a little bit, but I think the point that you'll take from this is the one that I'm trying to make, which is the matchup zone can keep guys out of foul trouble and put different bodies on Mobley. I think that's how you beat him. I think that's how you beat him. Talk a little bit about that with Dane Altman, though, coming up. So in Oregon's win over Utah, 67-64, Chris Duarte and LJ Figueroa both had to hit big threes again when the Ducks needed them to. I think Chris Duarte really has sealed his fate as a bona fide Pac-12 Player of the Year contender with the way that he's played in the last few weeks and hitting those big clutch shots. You know, he's had that clutch gene against Cal. He did it against Stanford. He did it against Arizona. Now he's done it against Utah. When the Ducks need a big shot, they give the ball to Chris Duarte. Much like when the Ducks needed a big shot, they gave the ball to Peyton Pritchard. Well, we saw as Peyton's career went on and he got better and better in those big situations, that was the next evolution for Peyton Pritchard. I think we're seeing that with Chris Duarte, too. And to be honest, I think, as Coach Altman talked about last week on Tip Off Tuesday, Chris Duarte getting in the weight room and really taking advantage of that, which is something he probably picked up from Peyton Pritchard, to be honest. Nobody worked harder in the weight room than Peyton Pritchard did last year. It's made a difference in his game. He's more confident. He's hitting big shots. Chris Duarte is, I think, one of the top five players in the conference overall, maybe top three at this point. Ducks have now won 5 in a row. They've won the last three by single digits. Find a way. Just find a way. Some of the other keys in this matchup between Oregon and USC coming up tonight, and if you're just joining us, Ducks adding this game to the schedule, Pac-12 adding this game to the Ducks schedule to make up for Oregon's postponed games that were supposed to take place in January. So remember, Oregon was supposed to play ASU and Arizona on the 14th and 16th of January. Then they were going to play UCLA on the 19th. That was rescheduled from December 23rd. That one, though, was no fault of Oregon and UCLA. It was an official who actually was going through COVID-19 protocol, so they couldn't play the game. Well, then that game against UCLA gets postponed again, and it was supposed to be played on February 1st. It was going to be down in Los Angeles when Oregon was supposed to play at UCLA on January 28th, then at USC on January 30th. Then the makeup game against UCLA was supposed to be played February 1st. Well, now we still don't have a makeup date for Oregon and UCLA, though we may next week, perhaps. Remember, the Ducks play at Stanford and at Cal coming up this week, but then next week they're wide open until they head to Corvallis on March 6th. So some opportunities still maybe in front of them to maybe play UCLA, maybe you play Arizona, you know, the games that will matter in the Pac-12 standings here down the stretch. So now they finally do get a chance to play USC, and it's a huge game. USC 12-3 in the Pac-12. Ducks 9-3. Now I know you're probably thinking like, well, boy, that's a big discrepancy. It is. But this year, winning percentage is what matters for the Pac-12 standings. USC currently sitting with an 80% winning mark. UCLA also sitting with an 80% winning mark because they're at 12-3 after Arizona State almost beat them. If you miss that game, I mean, UCLA, just highway robbery to steal that game from Arizona State. Though credit to the Bruins. A couple freshmen actually carried them down the stretch. Freshmen had to hit a free throw to give them a one-point lead, and that was all she wrote. Arizona State blew the big lead. Well, UCLA, though, that was a huge, huge win to keep pace atop the Pac-12 standings. And then it's Oregon, who's at 9-3. The Ducks can knock off USC. And if the Ducks can then take care of business at Stanford and at Cal, which I admit has not been a kind place to Oregon historically, going on that Bay Area road trip. UCLA has still got to go to Colorado. They still have to play USC. I'm just saying, like, no pressure here, Ducks. But whoever wins tonight may very well win the Pac-12. We're going to hear from Coach Altman some of his thoughts after the weekend that was and a few previews of Oregon and USC. That's a big one coming up tonight. We've got more Duck Insider presented by On Point Community Credit Union coming up after this in the Country Financial Studio on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Hi, welcome to the Spicy Drive-In. May I take your order?
Can I get the spicy chicken sandwich, please?
The spicy chicken is an excellent choice, sir. And to drink?
Whatever's fine.
Oh, may I make a beverage pairing recommendation this evening?
Sure.
If we are feeling especially bold tonight, sir, I would recommend the Mountain Dew with that. It's bravely unrestrained with a very alive aroma that pairs wonderfully with your spicy chicken. It's followed by a hint of zesty citrus flavor.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
I'm sure you already know this, sir, but remember to appreciate the nose first by giving the Mountain Dew a little swirl to really volatize it.
What?
To change the flavor compounds and activate your taste buds to get them fully primed for that chicken sandwich.
Ah, it's delicious.
Now you're getting the hang of it. The muscular flavor charge characteristics of Mountain Dew make for an absolutely epic mouthfeel when paired with spicy cuisine. It is quite on point, sir.
Dude, it's a perfect match. Like they were made for each other.
So true, so true.
When you want to make good food bolder and bold food better, do the Dew.
Your daily dose of Oregon athletics. This is Duck Insider from Learfield IMG College.
I'm probably okay to have one more drink before I drive home. I'm probably okay. I open the window to stay alert. Probably okay. I just popped some gum in my mouth.
Step out of the car, please.
I probably made a mistake.
Probably okay isn't okay when it comes to drinking and driving. If you see a warning sign, stop and call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
I want to be a warm fleece on a cold day.
Football
stadium.
I want
to be a bike that races around the country.
I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life.
Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. Brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
I love Kendra's comment on the Facebook stream. It just says, come on, Ducks. I mean, that's how we all feel right now, right? It's like, come on, guys. Get a huge win. 6 o'clock tonight, Oregon and USC on Fox Sports 1. Yeah, and also, hey, Brandon said it on YouTube. You know, just win, baby. Yeah. At this time of year, especially because everybody's already played everybody else. Everyone's seen everybody else play, even if you haven't played a team yet in your conference. Like, Oregon hasn't played USC yet, and they're about to tonight for the first time. But you all know each other at this point, and it's just there's going to be some grinder type of games, real grinder type of ball games. Dane Altman caught up with the media after the big win over Utah as the Ducks keep pace in the Pac-12, and they're going to try to, well, take over the pace in the Pac-12 tonight. 6 o'clock against USC, 5:30 pregame show here on the Oregon Sports Network. It'll be televised on Fox Sports 1. The comments from Coach Altman postgame, I talked to him first, and then a few members of the media asked him about big win over Utah, and then getting ready for this matchup tonight against USC.
Yeah, just got to find a way to get things done, don't you?
Well, yeah, we didn't have quite the same energy tonight defensively. Thought we gave up a lot of easy baskets in the first half, maybe a little better in the second half, but just our energy level wasn't quite the same. Eric gave us a big boost. It was good to get him back. Thought his minutes were pretty good. But some sloppy turnovers, again, you know, our possessions offensively at times weren't very sharp. And so we got to take a day here and get ready for USC really quick, but guys are going to have to get some rest.
How about Chris and LJ hitting some big shots for you down the stretch too, Coach?
Yeah, they did. They hit a couple big threes there. It'd been nice if they could have finished off with some free throws. And, you know, we'd have really, really felt bad with those free throws there. But again, they got to stop, got to rebound, got some hands on some loose balls. So found a way to win. And at this time of year, that's sometimes all you can do.
Getting ready for USC now, Coach. The schedule ahead, it is a quick turnaround, as you said.
Yep. No. We fly out tomorrow and we'll play Monday night. So very quick turnaround, and we'll have to get the energy going.
Dana, your perspective on the final double dribble call, I guess it comes down to interpretation of whether or not you thought Allen established the dribble on the first one off his foot. Just your perspective on that deciding play there.
Well, you know, he did dribble it and then pick it up and dribbled. So technically, it was the right call. As Larry pointed out, it was, you know, a tough time for that call to come up. But, you know, I think he did push it down, pick it up, and then start again. So I do believe technically it was the right call. Other than that, I don't know what to say. That's the way I saw it. I am, you know, going to take obviously another look at it to make sure, but I thought that's the way I saw it.
Yeah, Dana, beyond that double dribble call, what were your thoughts just on the final minute and a half there? And it was kind of a frantic finish.
Yeah, it sure was. We, you know, could have put ourselves in a lot better position with some free throws. And, you know, we missed some of those. But, you know, our activity there, we did get a hand on the ball. And that was a big possession there late with only a one-point lead. Again, a lot of credit to Utah. They played really hard and hit big shots when they had to. I thought they, you know, definitely were flying around, played with tremendous energy. And I thought at times we kind of got it going, but at times we were dragging a little bit and didn't seem to have the same bounce.
Coach, the defense seemed to get settled in a little bit midway through the first half. It seemed like Utah was getting a little bit of a rhythm, and then they started forcing turnovers. Held Utah to 1-3 and had 9 turnovers in the second half. What adjustments do you think you made, and what did you see from your defense in another gut-wrenching win?
Well, you know, I thought we got some hands on some balls, you know, that created some turnovers. You know, Utah is a very rhythm team. They like to swing the ball, long possessions, and, you know, when they do that, you know, they've played together and they're pretty good. And, you know, in the first half, they shot 50% and really got some good looks. They didn't shoot it nearly as well the second half, which, you know, I thought our activity had a little bit to do with that. You know, their free throw, they were 13 for 16 from the line. So, you know, they did a lot of good things. And, you know, we didn't get the points off turnovers like we usually get. Points off turnovers, you know, 11 to 10 wasn't much of a difference. So we got them to turn it over a little bit, but we sure didn't turn them into buckets.
Three straight games now, Dana. It seems like the tempo has been really slow. Is that just a sign of each team knowing what the other one's doing, and or are you guys just maybe not playing as perfect, you know, offensively as you could be?
Well, you know, part of it is everybody knows, you know, it's the second time we played Utah, and Arizona knows as well. Arizona State knows as well. Teams know each other, you know, this time of year, and you know, there's a lot of slugfest going out. If you look at different ball games across the country, it's that time of year where, you know, defenses kind of know each other and guys got to be able to make plays, you know, and you got to turn fast break points into buckets. And, you know, we got 9 fast break points, and that's, you know, we got to keep pushing that a little bit. We got to get some easy buckets somewhere, you know, especially when we're playing, you know, we played 9 guys. You know, you got to take advantage of that depth. If you're going to play 9, you got to get out and run a little bit.
We saw it briefly late, Dana, but it looked like you went with the core 5 for the first time. I'm sure you would have liked to have gone with it longer if Eugene doesn't foul out, but Eugene and Eric, Chris, LJ, and Will, what did you see from it in the brief time you got it tonight, and is that something you're going to look for? I know you're not a big deal in the starting per se, Dana, but it's more about the fact of being together at the start and the finish of games. Is that a lineup you're going to look to lean on?
You know, I don't know. I'll take a look at the film and you know, see, you know, the different combinations. But, you know, I thought Eric gave us a big boost, to answer your question there. I thought he was playing pretty good defensively and offensively. So, you know, it was great to get. I didn't realize we got 24 minutes out of him, but played a lot. And, you know, only playing 1 game in a month, you know, I thought he was pretty sharp for that.
Dana, that big matchup on Monday with USC, your first time facing them this season. What is Andy Enfield Baden able to do to get the Trojans to the top of the conference? And can you just talk about the matchup facing a player like Evan Mobley?
Well, that's the reason they're at the top of the conference. He's an awfully good player. But no, they've got a nice team. You know, Arizona went in there today and played exceptionally well. Were able to pull away, but they're big, they're physical, and, you know, they'll create a lot of problems. We're going to have to play awfully, awfully well. We're going to have to rebound the ball better than we've been rebounding it. You know, our defense is going to have to be really active. They're a very good defensive team because they don't give up a lot of easy baskets inside. So, you know, we're going to have to play awfully well.
Yeah, Dana, are Eugene's foul troubles something that concerns you right now?
Well, you know, he's an aggressive player. His second one was really bad. There was 1 second on a shot clock. I mean, that's the one that got him in trouble, you know, because then he picks up the third on the same possession. So, you know, he's got to be smarter now. You know, 1 second on the shot clock, you cannot pick up a foul. That's the only thing. I don't even think he was – I don't know if the kid knew that it was going to be a shot clock violation, but you got to make him throw one up there. You just can't foul him. And that's the one that got him in trouble, you know, and he tries to take charges and those are a 50-50 proposition. So I think he's got to be a little bit more careful, especially, you know, when he gets a couple, but that was the one, you know, and it's kind of like Chris gets a reaching foul, a really bad foul. And then he gets a second one. You know, and then he's got 2 fouls, and, you know, we got to be really careful with him in the first half. When you pick up a bad foul, you know, that usually a lot of times comes back to haunt you. When you pick up a reaching, just a lazy foul, those usually come back to haunt you a little bit.
Dane Allman, Oregon men's basketball head coach, Willamette Valley Cancer Institute and Research Center. Fight like a duck with cancer care you can count on, bringing you all of our head coach interviews this year. LJ Figueroa also talked to the media postgame and a couple thoughts just on where the Ducks are after that big win over Utah and now heading into this matchup with USC. LJ Figueroa, one of the many 6'6" guys on this team, actually.
LJ, five in a row, but three in a row by single digits. I think you won your last three games by 9 points combined. What are you guys doing to kind of dig deep and make more plays at the end than the other guys?
I feel like we're big a team on experience. We have a lot of experience, you know, a lot of seniors, a lot of leadership. I think we put ourselves in that position, coming out the gate. Coach always tells us, you know, try to keep them under 70 every game. So that's what we try to do. But I feel like we come out a little flat, and, we give the teams confidence by, going bucket for bucket with them. I think we need to focus more on defense and just making stops, just so we don't put ourselves in that position.
OJ, Coach said that the team didn't have the same energy and the same bounce that they should. At this point in the year, you're winning and you're near the top of the conference. Do you agree with that? And do you think that's winning gritty is better than sometimes, winning pretty?
A win is a win, no matter how we get it, 1 point, 20 points. Coach Ozzy tells us 10 up, 10 down, 20 up, 20 down. We just got to keep fighting, keep playing. But like I said, I feel like we've been coming out a little flat during games, giving the teams confidence. So, it's just about, starting from shoot around early morning, coming ready and focused and just be mentally locked in, throughout the whole day.
Yeah, LJ, after everything that you guys have been through this season, to know that you go into Los Angeles on Monday with a chance to potentially, move into the lead for the conference, what does it say about that game and how excited are you to get down there and play?
Every game we play, Coach, just makes a real point. Every game we play is, for tournament seeding, just to be as great as we can. Us going to L.A., they're a great team, Southern Cal. They got great experience, The brothers are very good. We just got to lock in tomorrow and focus on what Coach wants us to do and head up there and just stay focused.
I feel like LJ Figueroa's got to just be like a coach's dream when he answers questions like that, right? We just got to focus in on what coach wants us to do and swing away, as they say. That's what they always say for Oregon men's basketball. Ducks and USC in a makeup game tonight. That is a big one. It's a really big one. Oregon sitting at 9-3, USC 12-3 in the conference. Whoever wins this one may very well win the Pac-12 regular season title. And it's a huge opportunity, as LJ alluded to, for seeding, too. As the Ducks, I think, right now are comfortably inside the tournament bubble. You never know. Things could move quickly. So the Ducks have a big one coming up tonight, Oregon and USC. I think a couple of the keys, one of which is going to be transition for the Ducks, because USC actually has a negative turnover margin on the season. I think the Ducks would like to force a few more turnovers and then get the transition offense going. Oregon is the best team in the conference in terms of steals per game. I think they want to generate, though, more points off those turnovers, more fast break points, and that, to me, could be what separates Oregon from USC in this game. Also, I know it's the most tired thing ever for some people to hear, but rebounding. Ducks are 9-2 when they out-rebound the opponent, and they're 9-0 when they have more assists than the opponent this year. So the assist part is the ball movement. But then the rebounding, keep in mind, USC is undefeated when they out-rebound the opponent, and every game they've lost this year, they've gotten out-rebounded in. The numbers don't lie. As Coach Altman would say, it's not a complicated game. And in that regard, just rebound well, and you're going to win the game. I think Ducks are going to have to hit some big shots. And staying out of foul trouble for me with Eugenio Marui against Evan Mobley, I think that might be sort of the X factor to this whole thing, is what's the rotation actually going to look like for the Ducks in the course of this game. That's a huge one coming up. All right, women's basketball. We'll switch gears, talk about how the Ducks already got a win against USC on the women's side, and it was a good one. It was good to see them, I think, play a little bit more together. We'll hear from Coach Graves coming up. It's Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union in the Country Financial Studio on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, On Point proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. OnPoint Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
As my family continued to grow, I realized I'd have to replace my beloved Jeep with something that has, well, more seats. I'm Jason Hines, Country Financial Rep and father of seven. Whether you're upgrading from your sporty ride with no room for a car seat or finally replacing your well-loved beater that still has a cassette player, you'll want the right protection for your new car. Work with a Country Financial Rep like me and get the protection you need at a price you can afford. Learn more at TakeSimpleSteps.com or contact a local Country representative.
You're listening to Duck Insider. Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Whoa.
The moment my son saw a redwood tree.
It's huge!
Is the moment I knew that for him.
You can't even see the top of that thing.
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Jill, why don't you tell the class what you did this weekend?
Well, my dad and I went in search of some magical minnows and found a zillion of them in the stream from our lookout rock. Then my sister and I escaped from an evil slug king and went back to my super twig fort for safety. Then we told stories till it got dark, and the Big Dipper led us all the way home. Whoa!
Where were you, Jill?
We went to the forest. It's not that far away.
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Joey Mack, welcoming you back to Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. We're inside the Country Financial Studio getting ready for Oregon men's basketball tonight. USC on the road, 6 o'clock on Fox Sports 1, 5:30 pregame show right here on the Oregon Sports Network. Meanwhile, women's basketball, a rough one on Friday, to say the least. We don't need to go into the details. Let's just say that it was clear that Coach Graves and his team, well, they weren't too stoked about how things went. And Coach Graves said they just needed to play harder. It's what they said. What he said as a pregame key to the game with Terry Johns when they talked ahead of Oregon's matchup with USC. They played harder. USC closed the game, missing its last seven shots, and that was kind of the story of the matchup, where there were a bunch of different runs where Oregon was just locked down on defense, held USC to 33% shooting, and the Ducks shot 43% from three. So it's good to see. A lot of good things in Oregon's win over USC, 72-48. Kelly Graves talked to the media postgame about all things Ducks, and I think he was a much happy camper after this one compared to Friday. Coach Graves talking with the media first with Terry Johns.
And I thought your team came out right from the get-go and played hard today.
We did. Yep, we did. They were challenged yesterday. We had a great practice, very high-spirited. We went to a lot of live practice yesterday, and I think it paid off today. This was a good win. I think a good character win. We were, you know, let's face it, I don't think we've been in a lower spot mentally and even physically, perhaps, than we were after that game the other night. And for them to turn around, in a short time frame, you know, we had to play a noon game. So they had to turn around quickly, and really proud of the team.
Kelly, great comeback, as you mentioned, character. You asked them just basically simply, as Terry mentioned, play hard. What was your thought? What did you like the most in that play hard category? What did you think stood out today from the team?
Thought the first 5 minutes really set the tone for the rest of the game. Then when we subbed, Bev, I thought our kids continued to play hard. It wasn't just one group. I thought everybody did. And, I think there was some ownership taken tonight after last game. We were embarrassed, and we took that to heart, and I think we showed some real character. I look at this season, you know, we're going to have ups and downs with this, the youth that we have, and just the lack of overall experience. And so we were in a pretty bad place. And so I think it shows that this team has some character and the kind of mental makeup that is necessary to continue to compete down the stretch. So they were challenged, believe me, in film session and other places, and they answered.
Yeah.
And Coach, I think this is the third game in a row. Even at UCLA, it wasn't too bad beyond the arc. And since the Stanford game, now UCLA, now USC, you shot pretty well, 43% today beyond the arc. So the three balls back.
Well, you can say that. It's still day-to-day, man. But, yeah, it's like anything else. You know, kids get confidence when they see the ball go through the net. When Taylor Chavez made that first one, I thought that was huge. And then Aaron hit one early, and I think – Mike Sell hit one. Heck, Niara was out there in a three-point shooter. You know, it's contagious both ways. So when you're making them and also when you're missing them. And, you know, I keep saying this is a really good three-point shooting team. And we did that tonight.
Ellie, when you're at your low point like you were the other night, as you mentioned, mentally, maybe physically, what's kind of your demeanor like with a young team to challenge them? And obviously, they responded. Who do you give credit on the team for kind of leading that response?
Well, I thought our upperclassmen did a great job. We inserted Taylor Chavez there to start the game. I thought we really needed her toughness, and she, I thought, was a leader. Niara Sabali, I give her a lot of credit, man. She has stepped up and really tried to lead, you know, in the locker room after the last game and in our meetings. There were several, though, that I think – took self inventory and recognized that we have to do better each individually, including the coaches. Listen, we're in this too. You know, it's not just on the players. We had to do better, and we did. I thought Mark Campbell, this was his scout. He nailed the scout. I thought we were ready at both ends of the floor.
Kelly, we've seen it all season, but can you just reiterate how much of a mismatch problem Sedona and Niara present for other teams, especially when they're efficient the way they were today, inside and outside?
Not many people have a dual threat like that, you know, and we can't always play them together. But when they did play together, I thought we were really, really pretty good. I thought Sedona, this was one of her best games. She looked like she really wanted it. She was aggressive down low. She didn't just settle for an easy jump hook or a turnaround jump shot over her shoulder. She tried to get to the rim a little bit and had a little fight, and I was really excited to see that. She's such an elite talent. But, yeah, if we can get those two to keep doing that, I'm telling you, not a lot of people can have that kind of firepower inside, and it gives us a different way to attack other than just the three.
Kelly, can you speak to Aaron's game, not just tonight, but really over the course of the season, Kelly? Because, I mean, as a proportion of threes compared to shots taken, she's really changed her game. You mentioned early in the year that her role in the rebounding has changed compared to where she was last season. But clearly, in certain spots against SC both times, she's had these 13-point, 8-rebound kind of performances.
Really proud of Aaron tonight. Yeah, she is more than just that shooter, and she was aggressive. That was the main thing. She was getting the ball, trying to drive. She was posting up. A lot of that's just she's doing on her own. We didn't ask her to do that necessarily. I think she realizes that she's got to give us more. And she did. I'm happy to see her. She takes this really hard. She's the one player that's played a lot in this program, and she's leaving her legacy. She was honored tonight. You know, and it's sad that it's coming to this end, man. James, Aaron, and Lydia were given roses tonight by USC, which means it was their senior night here. And, you know, and they're honoring our seniors. So it's coming to an end for these kids. But good on her. We needed it, and she stepped up, and that's what she needed to do.
So, Kelly, I'm working on something leading up to your game against Oregon State, and I'd love to just get a few more thoughts from you on both Aaron and Niara, just their individual leadership that they've shown both off the court and on it, and just the growth that you've seen. You know, Aaron's been through so much with this program, Niara as well. Just a little more thoughts on each of those players for me.
Well, you know, Aaron leads by example. I call her a college pro. She comes prepared each and every day. You know, she never has a bad day. She does what she, you know, is supposed to do. She does her job. Now, she's not the most vocal. She's not the kind of person that's going to hold everybody accountable each and every day. But she does it by example. Niara, I will tell you, has really come a long way in her leadership. She was not in that role early in the year and didn't show that maybe she even had that in her, but she has really, really stepped up. And especially in this game, I credit her a lot with our performance today. Niara's been really one of our most consistent players on the court as well. That's been our biggest issue, is inconsistency. You know, guys, I was looking back at 4 years ago. You know, we had some inconsistencies that year. And the difference, I think, is expectations, external expectations and internal expectations. That's the only difference. You know, so when we got beat handily in a few years ago, nobody thought much of it because we just didn't have those expectations, and now we do. So there's a lot of pressure on these kids, and I think players like Aaron and Niara have really, I think, tried to help alleviate that pressure on some of the young players.
Coach, you talk about using games to springboard. Kind of what are some things you did today in the win that you hope to see, I guess, this throughout this week and into Oregon State?
I thought we were really under control, Eric. We didn't rush things. I thought we pushed the ball when we needed to, but we weren't out of control. A couple of times USC was back and weren't organized defensively, and we made them pay. But we weren't out of control. We didn't call a ton of sets. Our kids just kind of played. And you should have seen our practice last night, man. We scrimmaged like you never do that on a prep day. And our kids loved it. And we played so damn well. And I think that carried over today. So I don't know if that answers your question, big fella.
Well, I'll just ask on the scrimmage. When was the last time you've done that as a head coach, scrimmage the day before? Is that something you'd ever done? And what kind
never.
Of – Yeah, why'd you never. Decide to do it?
Yeah, never on a middle day on the road. We just haven't done it. And I just thought we needed it. We needed to see some success. Our kids played hard. It was the best – that we'd talked all year long, offensively and defensively. And they made mention of that in the locker room after the game, that helped. I don't know if that's something we'll always do, but I think we needed it. We needed to get a better taste in our mouth after that last game.
Kelly, you mentioned a week or so ago that most freshmen beyond the UConn star have hit the wall about this time of year, but it seems like Sydney is coming on strong here. Where have you seen the most growth from her?
I just think, you know, what we're playing, I see a lot of growth in that she is a good defender. She's doing it on the defensive end as well. I don't think she's forcing it offensively like she did at times early. She's letting it come to her, and it shows in her percentages are going up, and she got to the rim and got to the free throw line. I mean, she's versatile and earned the starting spot. I went with Taylor tonight, not because of anything she had done wrong or right. It was because I just felt in this bounce back game, we needed a little bit of toughness. We needed Taylor to assert herself and really give us what Taylor can give us. And she did. So it ended up working. And guess what? Sid still got productive time and made the most of it. So I think she's a true. And when I told her before the game, she wasn't upset. She wasn't disappointed. She just said, yeah, let's go for it. And she still had the kind of game that you need. So that just goes to show you, she's a winner. High school state champ, she's a winner. And she's bringing that to us.
We're going to hear a little bit from Sydney Parrish here coming up in just a moment. But, man, what a nice win for Oregon. I got to say, I loved that Coach Graves was like, yeah, you know what? We're just going to scrimmage. You know, like sometimes teams just need that, right? Like you need to just – get back to like the pickup basketball, the pickup game style, where sometimes when a season's not going well, you just have to do stuff like that. I thought that was great. I mean, when Coach said that post game and I heard him say that yesterday, I just thought, man, that's cool. You know, like that could end up being, and this is where, like, you know, me as like the storyteller of the season, right? Like I look back now and I think, oh man, that could be something that, you know, we're talking about this team in March. Like, that could be like the turning point, right? Hey, yeah, we had this great scrimmage after we lost to UCLA, and you never know. It could work out that way. We'll see. We will see. Going to hear from Sydney Parrish when we come back. The Ducks for men's basketball now, trying to follow the women's suit and get it done at USC. A lot more still to come. Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union in the Country Financial Studio on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Dear Wallet, you can't stop in a 2021 Toyota, no matter the weather. The Camry all-wheel drive comes out to play. Snowy hills don't stand a chance against the RAV4, and everyone will be comfy in the Highlander. See you in the snow. Toyota. Find yours at Toyota.com. Toyota. Let's go places.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, OnPoint proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon. So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. OnPoint Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
Dear Wallet, you can't stop in a 2021 Toyota, no matter the weather. The Camry all-wheel drive comes out to play. Snowy hills don't stand a chance against the RAV4, and everyone will be comfy in the Highlander. See you in the snow. Toyota. Find yours at Toyota.com. Toyota. Let's go places.
Don't go anywhere. Duck Insider continues after these messages on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Learfield IMG College.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt US Kids, and the Ad Council.
I'm Little Teapot, short and stout.
Here is my handle and here is my spout.
No, Dad, like this. When I get all steamed up, then I shout, tip me over and
pour me out.
This is WWE superstar Roman Reigns. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
All right, so there's a certain level of excitement for me here in the studio because we got, one, a big basketball game coming up. Two, women's basketball got a huge win. Bunch of Oregon sports got big wins this weekend. But you know what really just brought, like, excitement to me is I just got an email about baseball season and getting rolling on Thursday. Going to hear from Mark Wasikowski coming up tomorrow. We'll have that for you on the show this week. Oregon baseball thought they were going to open things up this past weekend. COVID-19 protocols prevented that from happening, but on Thursday at 4 o'clock, it looks like they're going to throw their first pitch at PK Park. Pumped up about it. Myself and Alex Stimson will be there. I'll be there for hopefully like the first three innings or so, and then we got basketball. Oregon at Stanford for men's basketball, so I'll be doing double duty. Triple duty, because we'll do Duck Insider that day too, but man, that's what it's all about this time of year, because baseball gets going. Suddenly I have visions of sunshining, you know, outfields in my head, and that's just all I ever want this time of year. Meanwhile, for Oregon basketball, I mean, you talk about a ray of light in what has been a rough few weeks. I think it's been Sydney Parrish. She has really stepped into a huge role for Oregon women's basketball. She talked to the media postgame after Oregon got the win over USC.
Sydney, KG was just saying that you guys scrimmaged pretty hard yesterday. That's something he's never done on a road trip in between games. What was that scrimmage like, and how do you think it helped?
The scrimmage was really, really intense. I mean, we showed a lot of heart and passion during the scrimmage. We wanted to beat each other. We wanted to just battle, and I think we needed that going into today since we had such a rough trip to UCLA the other day. But I think it really helped us, like, push momentum into this game, and we came out, even in warm-ups, just having a lot of energy, and we came out the first couple minutes just battled, and that's what kind of momented us for the rest of the game.
Just how important was it for you guys to have a game like today after the UCLA one? As you know, you've got Oregon State and then Pac-12. Just how important was it to have a complete game like this?
It was really, really important. I mean, this really just solidified our spot going into Vegas, and that was really good for us. But I mean, we're going next to play Oregon State, and they're a big rival, so it's definitely going to help us. I mean, they played USC really good also, so it'll be a really good battle and really good challenge for us. So we really needed this one.
How much did you guys need a game like this, Sydney? I know obviously you lost three in a row, but they'd all been to really good teams. Did you guys just need one where you could get some momentum here getting a win?
Definitely. Yeah, it definitely helped. I think we're capable of beating those three teams still also. So I think we went into this expecting them to come out really hard too, especially after their loss to Oregon State. So we knew they were going to come out hard. We knew we were going to come out hard. So this win was definitely important for us.
Sydney, how would you describe what it's meant for you to have Erin Boley in the program this year to kind of learn from her before she finishes her career?
Yeah, I've talked about Erin a lot. It's been great to have her. I mean, she gives me a lot of tips, a lot of pointers. She's been playing college basketball for a really long time, not just here, but other places also. And it's been amazing to have her. I mean, I'm learning a lot from her, and I'm very grateful to, like, be in this program with her and to be, like, near the same position as she is. So, yeah, it's been great.
Can you take us inside the scrimmage yesterday? I know it was so unique to do this on the road. I think Kelly said it's the first time he's ever done it. But what was the tone? Who was talking? Take us there a little bit, if you will.
It was everybody. It was not just one person. We talked after the UCLA game in the locker room, and we were upset that we need to change in practice and we need more intensity in practice. And I think going into that practice yesterday, we weren't expected to scrimmage, but when he did tell us we were going to, teams were completely even and we just battled. Everyone was talking, everyone was getting on loose balls. We really didn't care if somebody like dove and got hurt. We were just going after each other and it really helped. And at the end it was like tied and it was just, we battled. It was really, really good. And we haven't seen each other play like that for a really long time. So we knew we had it in us and we brought it to the game today. So we're ready to get that going in other games.
Yeah, it's that pickup basketball style. You know, I love that. That's Sydney Parrish talking with the media and the Ducks. They kind of needed that, and it worked well. So Oregon now back on the winning side of things. Women's basketball taking this week now to prepare for a home matchup against Oregon State coming up on Sunday. Maybe with I mean, who knows what's going to happen this week, but with so many open dates between now and when the Ducks play Oregon State on Sunday at 3 o'clock for women's basketball, I could see Pac-12 saying, yeah, let's add a game, one of the makeup games, but I don't know. Scott just said, like, nobody knows. Nobody knows. Hey, we're closing in on the end of the First Interstate Bank Community Heroes program. Visit goducks.com/community-hero-program to nominate. And the nominees could actually win an autographed basketball from Coach Altman and a Duck prize pack. Going to select seven of them. And essentially, this is just somebody that makes the world a better place. And it could be as small as they let you go at a stop sign when you got there at the same time, right? Like just something that brings a smile to your face that someone does. That's who we're looking for with the Community Heroes program. goducks.com/community-hero-program. It has been a very, very fun weekend. We talked a little bit about men's tennis. We're going to actually record an interview with Neil Schielander, head coach for the men's tennis team this afternoon. We'll have that for you on the show tomorrow because they had just an incredible performance. We'll tell you about that. But first, before we get into everything else that happened around Oregon athletics, if you did not see Haley Cruz with the game on the line, like seriously, game on the line here. It's 2-1 in the seventh inning. Runner at second. Like, this is what it's all about. And Haley Cruz makes a diving play. What a job by Haley Cruz. Ends up being that Oregon wins against Fresno State. They win both games against Fresno State. This one was a little bit closer than the Ducks would have liked. On Saturday, Brooke Yanez gave up two runs early, then was absolutely lights out in the circle after that. And then the Ducks just ran away with it, a 10-2 win. And then on Sunday, 2-1 win, solo homers from Alyssa Brito and Tara McGowan. That was the difference for Oregon softball. We'll have Missy Lombardi on, head coach for the Ducks, later on this week. But, hey, Ducks are 7-0. Game on the line. You got an All-American who makes a diving play like that. That's fun, man. That's what diamond sports are all about. We got a lot of other things to tell you about. A busy weekend for Oregon athletics. We'll recap it all when we come back on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
After 2 years of construction, my wife and I finally moved into our dream home. So when a bathtub fixture broke, causing major water damage, I was glad we had the home insurance protection we needed. How do you know your home is protected? Talk to a Country Financial rep like me, Nick Simon. We can help you understand your options and select coverages to meet your needs. Then if something happens to your home, you won't have any surprises. Need the right coverage for your home but not sure where to start? Visit TakeSimpleSteps.com or contact a local Country representative.
From the weight room to the classroom, on the field and off it, OnPoint proudly supports University of Oregon athletics because student athletes do so much more than bring us pride on game day. They bring our entire community together in Eugene and all across Oregon.
So whether you're watching the game in the stadium, at home, or at your favorite local business, their success makes all of us stronger. OnPoint Community Credit Union. Join in. OnPointCU.com. Federally insured by NCUA. Equal housing opportunity.
Duck Insider, Duck Insider, Duck Insider continues after this timeout on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
Ugh, what are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
What are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. It's been a long time since we've had an adventure in the forest.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
You're right. I should get out.
Yeah, the forest is not that far away.
Hey, Mom!
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
It's important to buckle up your kids.
I know.
Sometimes car seats can be complicated.
I know.
And if your child's in the wrong seat and you get into a crash...
I know.
It could lead to a serious injury.
I know.
So you're 100% sure you have the right car seat for your child's age and size?
I don't know.
Don't think you know. Know you know. Car crashes are a leading killer of children 1 to 13. Make sure you have the right car seat. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Troy Mack welcoming you back to Duck Insider, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Inside the Country Financial Studio, you know, it was awesome to see Oregon Acrobatics and Tumbling back in action for the first time in a while, as the Ducks did win their opening meet a pretty dominant fashion as well. 277.53 to 252.97. Good stuff from Oregon Acrobatics and Tumbling over Arizona Christian. It had been 2 weeks shy of a full year since the Ducks last competed on the mat, I should say. And Saturday's opener kicked off a regular season schedule of just four meets for this spring. Makina Juan was pretty darn happy with her program, and a lot of energy from Coach Juan postgame.
Just getting the obvious out of the way, what was it like to get back out there and compete?
So exciting. I cannot describe to you. It was awesome to get back out there with the team. Definitely a different vibe with no fans, but just to see them all competing and, you know, obviously the training that they put in, seeing it on the floor was awesome to see back in Matthew Knight Arena.
And the cutouts helped. From Keita Juan, Oregon Acrobatics Tumbling head coach. Our Women in Flight update of the week, always brought to you by the Duck Store, a proud supporter of Women in Flight. Elsewhere, as we get into your Cafe Yum 2-minute drill, Ducks with a really, really close one for women's soccer. They played Sacramento State to a draw, went to overtime, had the winner erased by an offsides call. Damn. I mean, it was one of those where you're like, Yep, still undefeated. Graham Abel is still undefeated because it's a draw. Friday's match, one of the most physical for Oregon in some time, actually. Ducks were whistled for 21 fouls, the most called on Oregon in 13 years on the soccer pitch, two off the school record. The two teams combined for 41 fouls and five yellow cards. Physical. Ducks had a commanding advantage, though, in shots, 18-5, created multiple scoring opportunities with eight shots on goal. So for Graham Abel's team, I think they would have liked to have the win, but some good positive things moving forward. Women's lacrosse season also started Friday at San Diego State, a close one to start the year, but the Ducks fell 11-9 in their season opener. And then Sunday at UC Davis, they wrapped up their opening weekend with a 20-9 loss at UC Davis on Sunday afternoon. So apparently 9 goals seems to be the number for Oregon women's lacrosse. We told you about men's tennis, but man, what a huge opportunity it was for the Ducks to beat the Huskies after a 7-0 victory over Eastern Washington at the Student Tennis Center, on Saturday. The Ducks, in dramatic fashion, ended up beating Washington 4-3. Whew! About as close as you could get. 4-3. They needed to win four singles matches. They did it. That's cool for Nils Schielander taking down the Huskies. And women's tennis, a dominant 7-0 win over Portland on Friday and a 6-1 win over Eastern Washington on Saturday. Track and field was in action for cross country. Full recap on GoDucks.com. And men's golf, the best finish of the 2021 season so far. They came in tied for fourth at the Wyoming Desert Intercollegiate. That's your Cafe Yum 2-minute drill. Busy week for Oregon athletics. Cafe Yum, restaurants at Oregon and Washington. Menus, CafeYum.com. Ducks and Trojans tonight. We'll see you for a 5:30 pregame.
Listen and imagine.
It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind. Life is worth more than a text. Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Everybody buckle up.
Mom, 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 mom.
Buckle up.
Let's go.
Buckle up.
Can we go to the store?
Mom, buckle
can we get
up.
Some ice cream?
Everybody, buckle up.
A lot goes on in the car, but you're in control. So only move when you hear the click that says they're buckled in. Never give up until they buckle up. Learn more at safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone. I see the future is really bright for me.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
You've been listening to Duck Insider on the Oregon Sports Network from Learfield IMG College. Presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Better banking, local solutions. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Oregon Sports Network.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.